Why are we at church on a Friday?
Good Friday.
That's right. It's Good Friday. And Good Friday, when we think back, it's actually a sad day. And so today, it's not going to be lots of happy party kind of feelings. Because today we're remembering something very sad. And so today, kids, I would like you to stay here. It's not going to be very long, and there's stuff for you to do at the tables, and there's some things that you can join in, but we're not going to run up and down the back today, okay? We're going to try, and it's kind of pretending like you're at a funeral, where we're going to be quiet, and we're going to listen, and if you notice, on your tables, I'm going to borrow these ones, and adults, you can follow along too. These coloring pages, as you can see, there's different stuff up here. Well, one page is for every station, okay? So you can follow along with the papers. Adults, you can too if you want. So to start, today what we're going to be doing is walking through five stations. The traditional stations of the cross are a lot more than this, but today we're going to take some time and focus on five. One of the things that I've been doing over this last year is called the Ignatian 19th Annotation. And for me, it's been quite a rich journey. One of the things, though, that it's challenged me to do, which as evangelicals we tend not to do, is to press into Scripture through feeling. And so place yourself in the story. What's going on? What smells? What's the feeling? What's Jesus communicating to your heart? That kind of thing. So it takes it out of the study mode, which is the easy side for me, and takes it into another way of encountering God. And learning Jesus, learning about Jesus and encountering him more like you're walking with him through his life. So the last 2 weeks, I've been walking through Jesus, up to Jesus' death, and this last week has just been meditating on the Holy Saturday, where there was nothing. So today, what I want to encourage you to do, as we walk through the events leading up to Jesus' death, I want to encourage you to pretend that you are there. Engage your imagination. Imagine that you are right there with Jesus. You are his friend. You are walking with him through this difficult time. Any of you that have walked with somebody who is passing, you know what it's like. It's solemn. It's sad. There's a waiting. And so, as best as you can, try and sit with that. Don't try and run from it. We are walking with our Lord and our Savior on his way to the cross. And so allow your emotions to be engaged. If it brings tears, that's okay. That is totally fine. But be aware of what this brings up for you. So to start, we are starting almost at the beginning. Kids, what is this? What does this look like? No? It would be an old style one. If it might even open. What is it? A door. That's right. So way back, we're going back to Exodus, long before Jesus was born. I'm going to read you this story. So this is a doorpost, and you have a doorpost picture on your tables. So this is just a summary of Passover. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family. one for each household. The animals you must choose must be a year old male without defect. Take them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. So this is what they did just before God freed them from Egypt. And so there's red crayons and stuff on your table. So for those of you that aren't sitting at a table, you can use your imagination. But as a way of engaging, put yourself in that place. You are an Israelite, a Hebrew, in Egypt under slavery. You have been crying out to God your whole life. Your parents have been crying out to God for their whole lives. For generations, you've been crying out to God to save you. And God has promised to save you. And so tonight, He's told you to paint the doorways with the blood of the Lamb. So kids, if you want, you can take your red crayon and color some red on the doorposts of the picture. Adults, you can do that too. Sometimes it helps to engage. So remember back in the story of Exodus, the Israelites wanted to be set free, but Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And so there were all the plagues on Egypt, and the last plague was the worst, the death of the oldest son. So to protect them, God had the Israelites prepare a perfect lamb. Remember what we read, no spot, no blemish. It was a perfect male lamb for a meal, and then put that blood from the lamb on the doorposts. That blood was to protect them. Did the blood itself actually have any power? No. It was a symbol. It was a sign that they were God's people. And so that night, when the death angel came, he passed over the houses with the blood on them. The houses without blood, it was a very, very sad day because the oldest boys in those homes died that night. But this is something that the Hebrew people, they celebrated every year because this was God freeing them from slavery. This was so important to them. And they knew that this was more than just their freedom from slavery. This was God's communicating to them about who He was and that He was going to save them. He was going to protect them. So this is Passover is what they celebrated every year. So with that in mind, let's move on to the next station. Let's see. Do you guys want to feel these? Do you want to feel it?
Were they
palm leaves? Yeah. You can feel that. Feels kind of cool, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you want to feel one too, Naomi? There you go. Here. Isn't that neat? You can. Yeah, sure. So, with the palm branches, we're going to read about what the people did. And the next bit of the story, which happened many, 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 many years later. I just have to get there. So this is the next bit of the story. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, so they put their jackets down on the road, while others cut branches from the trees, like this, and spread those out on the roads too. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This was a party. This was loud. People were dancing. They were cheering at the top of their lungs. So what we don't realize because of, should I change to the other mic? What we don't realize with this story is this is what they would do for kings entering their town when they're coming home. This is what the people would do for the king. And so people, so just imagine, okay, this is coming into Jerusalem around Passover time, which is already remembering, what are they celebrating? Freedom? Pardon? Yes, they are. And from back then, they're celebrating freedom from the Egyptians. But now they have a different ruler. Who do you think, who's the ruler now? When Jesus was around, you remember? The Romans. And they did not like the Romans at all. So, the Romans were in charge. And so Jesus is coming down into Jerusalem. And because it's Passover, this is already lots of emotions. Lots of people going, "Oh, I hate these Romans. I wish you could just get rid of them and kill them all." That's the kind of feeling, that's how they were feeling around Passover. And so everybody's already kind of excited, and some are a little nervous, but lots of people come to Jerusalem for Passover. And so there are extra Romans in Jerusalem at this time because they're just expecting something to happen. Somebody's going to break out in a fight. Somebody's going to try and do something. So they've got extra guards there. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes towards Jerusalem. He's riding on a colt. The people are laying their branches and their coats down. They are basically saying, "This is the king, not you," to the Romans. How do you think the Romans would have taken that? Do you think they would have been, they would not. They knew exactly what was going on. You'd think so. But they were watching very closely because Jesus hadn't quite entered Jerusalem yet, but you know that those Romans were talking. What is this going on? And the people knew what they were doing. They knew what they were saying. And one thing that we miss, because we speak English and not Hebrew, is what Hosanna actually means. Hosanna actually means, what they were actually saying, Hosanna means, "Please deliver us." So they are yelling at the top of their lungs while Jesus is entering Jerusalem, "Please deliver us." From who? The Romans. And so they're screaming this at the top of their lungs. They're saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He's a son of David." David was a king.
This is kind of getting a little bit intense here. And the Hebrew people, they knew exactly what they were doing. They were saying this. They thought Jesus would come in, he would kick those Romans out, and they would be free. They would have their country back. And so they were really, really excited. They were yelling, they were screaming, they were dancing, and they're saying, "Highest in the heaven." They thought that God had finally come to rescue them. He had sent Jesus to rescue them. But you know what? The one thing they missed was that that's exactly what Jesus came to do. But not from the Romans. What Jesus came to do was so much bigger. He came to save them from themselves, from the sin that was deep inside them, from their true slave master. That's who he came to save them from. So what they were crying out, Jesus was actually going to do in a way that they could never, never understand at that moment. So imagine that you're a Jew, wanting to be set free. Imagine that you're walking along with him and you're part of this party. Feel the excitement that maybe, maybe God has come to set us free. As part of his disciples, maybe you're part of this, but maybe part of you is a little bit confused because you're also remembering, wait a second, this could be dangerous. He's been dropping some hints about dying. Do we pay attention to that, or we just go with this? What are you feeling? As Jesus' friend, you're his friend. You know him. You've been walking with him. You've been listening to him. What are you feeling as you enter Jerusalem? Are you excited? Are you curious? Are you nervous? When Jesus doesn't enter Jerusalem like a king, but as he gets close, the whole thing seems to die down and he goes in a different gate. What do you do? Do you still hope? How do you feel now? Now let's take that into our lives now. How do you feel when you think God is going to do something, and then it looks like he isn't? Do you still trust? Is trust hard? Do you ever turn on God because he doesn't seem to be answering you the way you want? As you think about those times in your life, allow what we've just talked about here to remind you that God's purpose, God's plan, is so much bigger than you can see. Maybe he is answering your prayer, but he's doing it in a way that is so much beyond anything that you can imagine or see right now. And maybe it'll look very, very different. Our next station is the Last Supper. Oops. No, I can't. Oh, there it is. I was looking right at it. Okay. So as I read about what happened at the Last Supper, I want you to imagine that you're a disciple sitting at the table with Jesus. What are you feeling? Remember, this is Passover, and there was just the triumphal entry, and Jesus has been in Jerusalem, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. And now he's having dinner with you, just his closest friends. You're one of his closest friends. Place yourself around that table. Listen to his words to you. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this, divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So as you're sitting at the table with Jesus, how is he feeling? In your imagination, look at his face. How's he feeling at this dinner with you? What does he want you to know about himself through this? Take a minute and think about that. We're going to have a time of communion now. So,